Folks, we've been dealing with building stones of our faith, and I've been sharing with you about the Baptist faith and message. We've literally been preaching what the Bible says about our very statement of faith, the Baptist faith and message. We're on number 14, in particular, education. Now, I added another word to that. Education and discipleship, because when you signed up for the kingdom of God, that is, you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, God put an innate, strong desire for you to grow. Now, the question is, have we grown from there? It's called discipleship. It's called growing. You memorize that verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And I hope you have your Bible open to that this morning right now, because that's where we're going to begin. I love the statement in the Baptist Faith and Message under the heading of education, which says this: the new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. Folks, this morning is a very simple message. I just want to share with you three words. Matter of fact, I've even printed the outline with the three words in the bulletin for you this morning. The blanks are the scriptures. Because I want you to remember, grow, give, and go. And when God came into your life, He gave you that desire to grow. And just as the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is not a suggestion, so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 is not a suggestion. It is a command to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to join with your pastor and staff in the vision of Olive Springs Baptist Church continuing to become a 3G church. 3G church. Grow, give, and go. Now, Matthew had developed this resource. You may have not seen that yet. We're going to maybe move it into a different format, a smaller format. But here it is. It is Grow, Give, Go, our new member training manual. And on the back of your insert, that is your bulletin insert for the sermon, is a brief outline of every Bible study that's listed in the Grow, Give, Go. Matter of fact, on beginning Sunday, September the 12th, the lessons that are included in this resource will literally become our Sunday school and our Bible study curriculum for the fall of this year, from youth through adults. You see, it's our desire this morning as your pastor and staff that this entire church go through these Bible studies together. Years ago, Olive Springs Baptist Church voted to expect new members, literally, to be led through this new members booklet, but in particular, the first initial lesson of beginning your walk with Jesus, and in particular, your work and ministry at Olive Springs. We've rewritten this manual to better express our current vision. And over the past few months, you've noticed and seen the new bulletin format. And in front of you, you remember on the very front of that bulletin is this new logo, designed by none other than one of our own, Leonard Nicholas. Leonard, where are you, my brother? Right down here. Who's studying to be an incredible graphics design artist. I hope you go in our nursery and see the mural he's painted on the wall. The man has a gift. And Matthew and I just talked to Leonard and said, Leonard, we want a logo that has the Word of God as the foundation. And that everything that we do at this church begins with the Word of God. The infallible, the inerrant Word. So that we want to see the cross, the empty cross, not a crucifix, the empty cross growing out of that Word. And in that Word, we want to permeate not only this community, not only this state, not only this nation, but around the world. And we want to permeate it with the gospel of Jesus Christ all around. When you see that picture right up there, and you see this on your bulletin, and you've seen that, we started with the Word of God. And there's a reason that cross comes out of the Word of God, I just told you. And we wanted to see our ministry doing the Great Commission. So right in the middle of that empty cross, we put the world. And then Leonard took it and we said, let's intertwine our entire ministries through the Word, through the world, from the Word, as Olive Springs Baptist Church, hence the olive branch. That's what we're about doing. People say, what are you doing at Olive Springs Baptist Church? You pull out this logo and you say, well, folks, we start with the Word of God. You see, that's our foundation. Everything we believe is the Word of God. And growing out of that Word of God is the empty cross. It's not a crucifix. Jesus is not on the cross. The tomb is empty. He's not here. He's risen. And the very fact of that empty cross is that we permeate the world. We do Acts 1:8. We do the Great Commission. But folks, before this logo becomes reality, we got to do 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. So three words, simple message. Write the scriptures down, because this week I want you to go back home and I want you to look at those scriptures and I want you to read those scriptures and just let them soak up in your heart and mind and spirit. The first word is grow. The two scriptures I want to deal with are 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and Acts chapter 2, the last part of verse 47. The word grow is an interesting word in the Greek language. It's a little word called oxado that didn't sound anything like the English word grow. But it means to grow in size. It is the word used of an infant growing to an adult. But in the Greek tense is the present active imperative. It means to be done now. Now in the Greek language, they had two type ways of action. They did what was called linear action, which means action that continued. And then they did, used another big word called punctiliar action, which means actions that happen at a certain place in time as a one-time event. This word used here is linear action. It means we keep on growing. We never stop growing. We must grow. Peter knew that, and he told the people of the diaspora, he said to them, those believers, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. The sad part about it, ladies and gentlemen, about spiritual growth, is that so many believers simply use their intentional asking of Jesus Christ into their hearts as a fire insurance policy. It's simply enough to keep them out of hell, but it's not enough for them to grow or even to bother with all that spiritual growth stuff. That was the problem in the Corinthian church in Paul's day. The believers were babes in Christ. They didn't desire the spiritual meat of the Word of God. The Bible says because they were carnal. They were fleshy. They only desired the things of the world. Unfortunately, the same is true of so many in the 21st century church. One, spiritual growth has become a matter of convenience for so many believers rather than one's ultimate priority. Folks, the infant will grow physically just because God made the body to grow from a child to an adult. But the spiritual life doesn't grow by osmosis. You have to do something intentionally to grow. And the Bible says this is a continual process. We never reach maturity while on this earth. But as our Lord commanded us, you and I as believers must set our sights on that goal of perfection in our spiritual growth. Paul said it absolutely incredibly in Philippians chapter 3. He said, brethren, I count myself yet not to have laid hold, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to the things which are before. I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord blackened this earth for 3 hours when His one and only Son became guilty of every sin that you and I would ever do on this earth. And folks, God will never let sin into heaven, period. We are sinful creatures. We are in need of the Savior of the world. But the Bible says, thanks be to God in that while we were yet sinners, what's the rest of it, folks? Christ what? Died for us. And ladies and gentlemen, the scripture in 2 Peter 3:18 and the Bible calls that grace. Little Greek word, charis. Beautiful word. The grace. We are to grow in the grace. None of us deserve to sit where we're sitting. I don't deserve to preach the word. Paul and Chris and their family don't deserve to sing. We could go on and on and on. The only way we can even be somewhat worthy of that is because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us from the top of our head to the bottoms of the soles of our feet. That's what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's favored blessing upon something, upon me and you. In the fact it's unmerited favor. And we are to grow in that grace. So how are you and I supposed to grow in that grace? The only way is to fall in love with this book. Genesis to Revelation. It does not contain what is. What is it, church? It is the Word of God. From cover to cover. So in this new member's manual, in this vision, as we've talked about for weeks and months, and you've seen, and I've shown you this logo, is to move forward. The first thing we've got to do, I'm not talking about somebody outside there or in our neighborhood, I'm talking about all of us sitting right here in this place. We've got to make a conscious commitment that enough's enough. Being silent for 50 years is enough. We're not going to do that anymore. We're not only going to take a stand on the Word of God like never before, we're going to involve ourselves in this book and study it inductively and see what the Word of God has to say for our situation like never before. Folks, this world is searching for God. They're searching for anything spiritual they can find. They found it there. They seem to think they found it in Eastern mysticism. They found it in all this heretical religion. They found it in the name of other gods, little G-O-D-S. But they missed the fact that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man is going to come to the Father except by me. That's growing. And we have to make an intentional decision to grow. Billy Graham says that there's so many babes in Christ that he even has said and been quoted that upwards of 80% of those sitting in our pews on Sunday morning perhaps are not even saved. Folks, I can't answer that question for you. You know, if there has come a time in your life where you have intentionally invited Jesus Christ into your life, and you said this, Lord Jesus, in one way or another, you said, I am in need of the Savior of the world. You died for every sin I would ever commit. I am a sinner. I need the Savior. And Lord, I can't forgive myself, nor can this world. So I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, through faith in you, that you would come into my life right now and be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, cleanse me of my sin, and then you repented. You took an about face, and God changed you from the inside out to the point that the Scripture says you are a new creature. The old's gone, and you are new. And folks, when God puts a new creature inside of you, the mindset changes. What used to be filtered and focused upon the world now changes to the Word of God in terms of what it means for me and you. And then the Bible says we're not only to grow in grace. It has another word right there in 1 Peter 3:18. It says literally knowledge. Knowledge. Now in the English language, we kind of pass over that word. We pass over because we hear it all the time. It is in our vernacular, in our way we speak. We use it all the time. But the Greeks had a different way of expressing that in the New Testament. They used a little word called gnosis. Gnosis. And that word we translate knowledge. But if you look deeper in the word and you look into the etymology of the word, in other words, the history of it, what it means, you will discover that gnosis is God's kind of knowledge. So we are to grow in grace, and in whose knowledge? God's knowledge. Who's the author of grace? God himself. Thanks be to God in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those of you in Master Life with me a few years ago, and if we've gone through Master Life, you remember the theme verse to Master Life. Luke 9:23. Write that one in the margin and don't forget it, literally. Because the Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what, Master Life people? Daily, and follow me. Folks, we are to grow. Now I want you to slip over to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And I want to show you the last part of that verse. How does a church grow? I want to thank the folks who have joined here from other churches, whether you've come from far away or close by. We are glad you are here. You are an asset to the work and ministry of Olive Springs Baptist Church. And I love you with all my heart. But church, let me tell you something. Church growth is not getting members from other churches all around. That's just moving the flock. That's just moving the flock. Let me show you why. Acts chapter, I want you to look with me right there. Acts chapter 2, the last part of verse 47 says it very quickly. And the Lord added to them day by day those who were being, what's that word? Saved. Church growth happens when the church goes out, shares the message of Jesus Christ, a person responds, asks the Lord Jesus in the life, and they disciple them in the church and grow them. Bless God, that's church growth. And what's happened in our convention in the last 50 years is some way, somehow, we've forgotten about that kind of church growth. We've just been moving the flock from church to church to church. And the Bible says if we're going to grow, we're not only have to make a commitment to ourselves to grow, we're going to have to go out, ladies and gentlemen, and compel them to come in like never, ever, ever before. Dear friend of mine, Dr. Tom Raynor, president and CEO of Lifeway. Good old Dr. Tom, so many times in class, so many times sitting with him across the table. He's written many, many books, but he wrote that book called Eating the Elephant. And basically, eating the elephant's about church growth. And the statement he makes in there is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you grow a church? One person at a time. One person where you ask, where you lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Folks, the Word of God commands that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we add to the church those who are being saved. Thank God for those who come and they do join from other churches, perhaps from out of state. You're doing exactly what the Word of God said. And thank you for being here. But folks, we're not growing as a church, and no church is growing unless people are being saved. Amen. In the ministry of that church. I thank God for those five kids in Vacation Bible School who prayed to receive Christ. Wow. Let me tell you, victory like you wouldn't believe to watch and see that happen. The second word I want to tell you about is the word give. And turn back to the Old Testament with me, because I'm going to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 28, 29, and 30. Give. Listen to what it says. It says, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due to his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And listen to this. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. When I walked into this building and I welcomed you this morning, when we all prayed together with the Weaver family and every one of them got in my office, and we joined our hands in circles, I said, the folks, the number one reason we're in this house today is to give praise and glory and honor to Almighty God. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him.
Amen.
And folks, the Bible says, and you see it right there in 1 Chronicles 16, give the Lord first and foremost of your life. The Bible teaches us to tithe without question. But the tithe is not a substitutionary gift for your life service in the kingdom of God. Some people have this false assumption, if I pay my tithe, then I don't have to do anything else. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Even more than the tithe, God is concerned about the other 90% of your life. We give our lives to God and sacrifice to Him first and foremost. The Bible says it. Bring your offering. Give to the Lord your best, your first fruits. That's not a suggestion either. And then the scripture teaches that we must express our love for the Lord through worship. We are to worship God in the beauty of holiness. Man exists to worship God. Worship does not exist for man. That's what giving is all about. When I bet you read that word give, you thought money. That's part of it. But folks, if that's all you think, you've missed the Word of God. God wants your life. God wants you in complete, total service to Him. God wants you telling somebody about Jesus Christ like never before. We are to grow and we are to give like never before. The Word is specific. And then look at verse 30 right there of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Tremble before Him. That's what it means. When is the last time you stood so straight before God and you realized you were in the presence of God that you actually almost shook? A reverence that says, Almighty God, who can take away my breath, who can give me breath, is standing right here in the midst of us. We are on holy ground because God is here. And we give back to Him in complete total worship. We give back to Him the sacrifice of our life like never before. I watched this family as they sang. Every one of them oozed the power of the Holy Spirit in their life because they're giving back their life to God through music on a constant basis. What's God want you to be doing like never before? Then there's a third word. Go. And don't get up and leave. I mean, go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love this verse. You shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wow. The word witness there is a beautiful word. It's a word called martus. In the name, the verb form is matureo. It is literally the word we get our word martyr from. So what is a witness? One who is willing to die for what he believes. A true witness is so convicted in his heart that people need Jesus Christ, that what breaks the heart of Jesus will break his heart. Oh, that we could learn to weep over the lost souls in this community. And then have such a passion to see this world turned absolutely upside down in seeing people coming to Jesus. The stats reveal that we've lost that passion, folks. But I thank God for our convention and this past convention in June, whereby a move and a strength to return back to a Great Commission resurgence, to bring us back not only to being a people of the book, but a people of doing the Great Commission. And I want to say something to you, and I want you to listen to me very closely, every one of you who are members and guests of Olive Springs. Before we have our Hallelujah Harvest on October 31st this year, I'm going to take you in this pulpit through a series of messages right here on Sunday morning and show you how to effectively, simply, and with simple a few words and scriptures, lead someone to Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a little track. I'm going to teach you how to use it. I'm going to tell you how to share your testimony. People say, but Brother Randy, I don't have a testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. And then on the night of the Hallelujah Harvest, I want as many of you people that can come and talk to people about their relationship with the Lord. Don't worry if you can't speak Spanish. Our Hispanic congregation, who is bilingual, many of them will come and be alongside of you. And we're going to share Jesus on this parking lot like never before. We're not going to wait until then, but that's a primary night. I want to teach you, and I want you to be here. Why? Because if we're going to grow, if we're going to give, we got to go. Amen. And people say, Randy, I don't know. I'm just scared stiff. So am I. The last thing Satan wants you to do is tell somebody about Jesus. The last thing. Well, I'm going to alleviate that fear, and I'm going to incite hell all over the place. So just strap in, folks. When we start doing that, God only knows what he'll allow Satan to do. But that's okay. We'll go to hell with a squirt pistol if it has to. Whatever it takes, we're going to do, because I'm going to show you how to do that. Even if you're just going coming up to somebody and saying, you know, I don't know a thing to tell you, but I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. Read this. Whatever it takes, we're going to learn to share Christ like never before. The Bible says you're going to receive dunamis. Our word dynamite, power, explosive power, because the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to be my martyrs, literally. And it's going to start right here in Jerusalem. Then it's going to move out to the rest of the area in our Judea. Then it's going to go throughout the entire country in our Samaria. And then, just like our logo says, it's going to go throughout the ends of the world. That's what the Bible says. We are to go, and we are to tell, and we are to start right here in our house. Wow. My prayer is that our lives would never, ever be the same because of what we've heard today. I pray that the fire of God would stir us up with such a passion as never before. I pray that God will never let us rest until our number one focus, including this preacher, is all that, and all that we do is to see lost souls coming to Jesus Christ by the droves. If they want to call us fanatics, if they want to call us idiots, whatever they want to call us, that's okay. But we're going to do what God wants us to do like never, ever before. I wish I had the passion of John Harper. John Harper was born into a Christian family on May the 29th, 1872. He became a Christian 13 years later, and he'd already started preaching by the age of 17. He received training at the Baptist Pioneer Mission in London, and in 1896 he founded the church, now known as Harper Memorial Church, which began with 25 worshipers, and then 13 years later had grown to over 500. In the year 1912, the newly called pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, Harper himself, was traveling on the Titanic with his six-year-old daughter. And literally after the ship struck an iceberg and began to sink, he got his little daughter into the lifeboat, but apparently made no effort to follow her, and instead he ran through the ship, yelling, "Women and children and the unsaved into the lifeboats!" Survivors report that he then began witnessing to anyone who would listen. He continued preaching even after he had jumped into the water and was clinging to a piece of wreckage because he had already given his life jacket to another man. Harper's final moments were recounted 4 years later in a meeting in Hamilton, Ontario, by a man who said this. He said, "I'm a survivor of the Titanic. When I was drifting along in that ocean that awful night, the tide brought Mr. Harper of Glasgow along on a piece of wreck. And he came beside me and he says, 'Man, are you saved?' And the man looked at me and he said, 'I said, no, I'm not.' And then he told me, he said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.' Well, the waves bore him away that night, but strange to say, those same waves brought him back a little later. And he looked at me again and he said, 'Are you saved now?' And I replied, 'No, I can't honestly say that I am. John Harper looked to him in the midst of that water, and he says, "You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And shortly after, he went down, and there, alone in the night, with 2 miles of water under me, he said, "I asked Jesus Christ in my life because of John Harper."
Amen.
And I am John Harper's last convert. He died with the 1,522 people that died with him. I long for the passion for souls like John Harper had on that Titanic. I long for the passion of doing the Great Commission like never before. May our precious, precious Lord grant it so. So you see, folks, our mandate that we must continue to become as never before in now our almost 130-year history, I want us to become a 3G church. Give, give, or grow, give, and go. And ask those around you to come and join in this incredible, incredible adventure of doing what God has told us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Pray with me. Father, if this is the last sermon I ever preach, I believe, as best I know how, I have delivered what you have commissioned me to say. Because I believe this is your word for us today. And Father, you are in complete, complete control. Churches across America have lost their passion souls to come to Christ. Oh, deep down in our hearts, we want that. That's what we will all say. But oh, Father, so many, it's gotten on the back burner. Oh, Father, I pray for strength as pastor of these dear, dear, precious people. That you give me the wisdom, Father, to lead them literally into simple, simple message of telling someone about Jesus. And then, Father, may we get to the business of doing it. But, Lord, it's got to start right here. It's got to start on this pulpit. It's got to start with this preacher. I'm yours, Father. Everything I am and everything I'm not, I am yours, sold out. I'm human. So many times, I literally fall flat on my face. I run into walls. I thank Lord Jesus in my life. There's so many others you could have standing in front right here preaching to these people. But you've chosen me. And Lord, I am blown away by that every minute of my life. And Father, we've got to intentionally make a decision to grow like never before. There are so many growing Christians under the sound of my voice right here. But Father, none of us have reached perfection. We got to keep on growing. And I know, Lord Jesus, so many are tired. So many are exhausted. Satan has beat so many absolute almost to death. And Father, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters in this house. I pray for me. Father, restore unto us the joy of the second after we came to Jesus. And Father, may we regain that passion so that when we drive away from this church, tears would well up in our eyes because 88 to 90% of those that we've passed have no personal relationship with Jesus. Father, burden us with that like never before. And then, Father, you do your work through us. I pray for revival in this country like never before. But Lord, I pray that it begins right here at Olive Springs. And I pray that it begins right here in this less than 12-inch square that I'm standing around. You do your work, Father. And we will praise you, not man, for all that you're doing. So, Lord, we come to say we trust you this morning. We come to make that commitment. And this is your altar. This is your time as it has been from the minute we began this service in our Sunday school. All that's been done today. This is the most important moment as we close this time with saying what we're going to do. Father, your will be done
That is my prayer. That is our prayer. In the very name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Thank you for the privilege to preach freely and to preach the Word of God in its truth. But now we all got to make that decision. This becomes the altar. This becomes a place of prayer. This becomes a place of decision. Your pew that you're sitting in becomes a place of decision and prayer. And I ask you, as we stand in just a minute very quietly, and Doug leads us, and only trust Him. Whatever's on your heart, if that's to come and pray, if that's just to remain seated and pray, if that's to stand and sing to the top of your voice, only trust Him. Whatever is your commitment, let's make our commitment, ladies and gentlemen, to do what we said. Let us grow. Let us give. And let us go like never before.